In this week's parsha, we have a discussion about eating kosher and non-kosher food, and I thought it would be nice to do a little of a halacha time machine to go back to 2004, when I guess it was a much simpler time and not a simpler time. I guess that depends on your perspective, and to talk about the famous Copepod controversy in New York City in 2004, to see perhaps what's changed, to remind ourselves about the concerns about it, and to make sure we're up to date in halacha. Let's give the basic psukim, the halacha and shulchan aruch. Then we'll get into the history, the controversy, and the halachos itself. The Mishnah Maseches Makos says that if a person eats shkatzim and ramasim, you get malchus. If you eat any bugs, you get malchus. Even though the insect is smaller than a kazayas, because the insect is a birya, one entire entity, therefore it's usr, even though it's less than a kazayas. Generally in halacha, kazayas is needed for any prohibitions of eating, but if it's a complete entity, therefore it is still usr. So the Gemara then in Makos Tazayin continues and said that if you eat something called a potisa, which is a sheretamayim, a bug that's in the water, so you can get four times malchus. Now there are two specific yisurim for a sheretamayim, two in general for bugs, 2 plus 2 is 4, and that's how Rashi understands it. The Rambam in his Sefer Mitzvot says, no, you only get malchus for the same isur. You don't get malchus for the same isur that's repeated. And therefore, you only get one set of malchus. But at the end of the day, it's still usher. So let's look at the pasuk. The pasuk says in this week's parashah, Vayikra Yud Aleph, Es ze tochlu mikol asher b'mayim asher kol asher lo snapir v'kaskeses b'mayim b'yamim menachlim osam ochlim. You can have anything that's in the water that has fins and scales. V'chol asher ein lo snapir v'kaskeses, if it doesn't have fins and scales, b'yamim v'nachlim mikol asher tzavayim u'mikol nefesh achaya asher b'mayim, sheketz heim lachem. Then it's sheketz. It's considered a prohibited bug. The sheketz you lachem, be besarim, it is disgusting to you. Lo sochelu, you may not eat it. Lo nevlasam to sheketz seyu. Kol sheivo stavrivakas kesses maim to sheketz hu lachem. Anything that does not have fins and scales is a sheketz, is something that is prohibited and disgusting to you. This is cited lahalacha without any question in Yoredeya Simon Peidal. What is fascinating about what we're going to discuss tonight? Every single thing that we're going to talk about tonight is found on the page in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Pei Dalet. And just to appreciate the mastery of the daf of the Shulchan Aruch that the poskim had, to be able to apply all the different things the Shulchan Aruch was talking about in the Nosei Kelim and the Shachs and the Taz and the Pisrei Tshuva, it all comes there. We don't necessarily need any contemporary poskim. Everything is going to be found there on the daf. We need the poskim to help show where to apply these things, but everything's going to be found there in Shulchan Aruch. The Shach says the Shratzim are usser, even if it's not just water, it could be any liquid. Even if not currently in water at this moment in time, it's still usser to eat them as well, according to the Poskim. Maybe Daraisa, Darabanan. But let's get into the issue itself. In 2004, it was discovered that there was copepods, these small bugs, in New York City water. What's the story? So the story that is told is that there was a balabas in Brooklyn who was washing his alei katif lettuce. There used to be lettuce grown in Gush Katif, and he was washing it before Pesach, and he kept on washing and washing it, and there was bugs. There was bugs every single time he was washing it, he found bugs and bugs and bugs. So he wrote to the company and said, I'm sorry, but there's a terrible infestation here. You got bugs everywhere. So the company said, send us the bug. So he sent him the bug, and their experts looked at him and said, this is not a bug from lettuce. This is a bug that comes from the water. It's not our fault. It's your water's fault. And that led to the discovery that in the water, in New York City, there's a major issue of shratzim in the water. And the experts, there's only one name we need to know, the experts on all the metzias, and who puts in all the investigation, the filtering, all these things, is an individual named Rav Yaakov Lach, and he has actually a machon, an institution that helps people with these things. They have issues and questions about it, but he's the one who's really the big expert. He's the one who did everything for the OU and spoke to Rabbi Belsky and Rav Shechter and David Feinstein and all the big mumchim. So Rav Yaakov Lach is the person who gave us all this information here. And he also constantly updates what's going on, what the situation is. So the story is that copepods exist in any open water in the world. Nowadays, about only 9% of the water in America, or certainly New York, is going to be filtered for copepods. The water for New York City comes from the Croton River, and the water is polluted. The water that comes from the rest of the state, for a lot of the state, comes from the Croton River, and that water is polluted, and it has to be filtered. There hasn't been really any real changes in Metzias since then, but we're going to talk about New York City in a moment. Now, what makes the Copepods different than past discussions of bugs that were native to water? This is not the first time Halacha has dealt with bugs in water. The difference is that these bugs are native to the water. They grow in the water. The Shulchan Aruch is usually discussing about a bug that made its way into the water. These copepods are native to the water. They eat the plankton in the water, and they themselves are the food for small fish, and they are in the water throughout the entire year. The reason New York City has copepods in this water is because they don't harm people, and it doesn't bother anybody. Only the Jewish people care about it, but they don't bother anybody. Not only are they not harmful, but they're important parts of the ecology and the water system in New York, and therefore they're happy to have them there. It takes 24 hours from any water in the reservoir to make it into the tap. And by the time the water gets us the bug, so the bugs are all dead, as we'll talk about in a moment, and they are carried along as dead bugs through the water to our faucet. Now, what are the factors if there's going to be copepods in your water or not? Well, it has to do with pressure. Because some people, when they test, find copepods, and some people find very few. When there's a lot of pressure on the water line, on your block, and your street, it will carry the copepods into the house. If the water pressure on the street is lower, because of how it's interacting with the cross streets around it, then the copepods will sink to the bottom of the water line and not make it into your house. In addition, if a person lives in an apartment with a water tank on the roof, so the rule in New York City is that if there's a water tank on your roof, the water is always distributed from the middle of the tank. The pipe that brings the water from the tank into your apartment is always at the middle. It's not at the bottom. Why? Because they always need to make sure the tank will be half full for the fire department. Because you don't want the fire department getting to the place, getting to the building, and finding out that they can't access, there's no water left in the tank. So in those tanks, the copepods all fall to the bottom of the tank, and the water is drawn from the middle of the tank without any copepods. So there will be places, there will be buildings where there won't be copepods, but for the far majority of cases, there will have these bugs there. We're going to discuss tonight the five halachic issues that the poskim grapple with regarding whether the water is going to be problematic or not. Let's discuss the first one. That is, your question is, well, can I see the bugs? How do I know they're there? How do I know they're not there? Maybe they're too small to be seen. Bugs or anything that are not visible to the natural human eye do not have significance in halacha. For example, the Tiferes Yisrael writes in the Avodah Zarah that before his time, there was a rabbi who wanted to allow certain fish because it had microscopic scales. But all of the poskim rejected this fish as being kosher because the human eye could not see the scales. And this is the opinion of most poskim as well. If the human eye cannot see it, it is not an issue, l'chumra or l'kula, for strict or to be lenient in halacha. Maybe the copepods are not visible. Well, the answer is they are visible. They're hard to find because they can really only be seen when they're dead. In addition, they're white, so it's hard to see them in water. But if they're held against a dark background, they can be seen. In an important early article that was written in the RJJ Journal by Rabbi David Shabtai, who's a rabbi in Boca, so he says that a human being can see closely any object that's larger than 40 microns, okay? The copepods begin their life at 90 microns, 0.09 millimeters, and they grow to be about, 1 millimeter in about 5 weeks. It's about, one millimeter is 1,000 microns, so it's a very small amount. The egg size is about 50 to 70 microns. So obviously, if the human eye can see more 40 microns, certainly the human eye should be able to see these copepods. And these bugs are hard to see because they're translucent. But if you take the water and you pour it over a dark cloth, you can see the bugs. This is discussed as well by Rav Yaakov Emden in the She'os Yaivetz, which is cited in the Pischei Tshuva, regarding bugs in rice. When the bugs are in the rice, you can't see them. But when they're removed from the rice, they can be seen. So therefore, the bugs essentially can be seen under the right circumstances. Now, what if the copepods as we said before, can't really be seen until they're dead. By the time they make it to our faucet, they're all dead from the chlorine in the water, and they don't look like shrutzim anymore. They look like little white dots. So when they're alive, maybe you can see them hopping around the water and moving around. But now they're dead, maybe you can't see them, you know, as bugs anymore. Maybe they just look like white dots. So for this reason, Rabbi Belsky, in the Kovetz Shashu'e Oraisa and the Hamasifta, which is Torah Vadas Torah Journal from Tavshin Samachay 2005, he wanted to be lenient. But Rav David Feinstein, the OU Chuvas, Rav Shechtin, the OU Chuvas, Rav Chaim Oberlander, in the Kovetz Or Yisrael, the Or Yisrael Volume 36 contains a lot of these articles. They all argue that because we know it's the same shards that was moving around when it was alive, it's usher to drink it. So that's point number one. Can we see the bugs? The answer is yes. The next question is, what is the status of our reservoirs? It's not the most exciting discussion, but it is important to understand exactly how this works. The halacha is as follows. The halacha is that the tolayim, the bugs, are only usher if they grew in yamim unachalim, the sea and the water. But a sheretz, a bug that grows in a cup of water, a kli, is mutter, because they're considered part of the water. Again, if the bug grows in a kli, it's mutter. If the bug grows in yamim unachalim, in the sea and the river, it's asr. So how do I distinguish between a kli and yamim unachalim and the sea and the water? So the Gemara gives three categories. The first is the sea is in the ground, and the kli is man-made. That's number one. Number two, yamim unachalim, the sea, are perennial, and they're fed by the spring all year round. And a mayan, you know, or a mayan gets its water from beneath the ground, and it's always flowing. And three, yamim unachalim have movement, while a kli is stationary. So let's discuss some examples. A man-made pit of water, any bug that grows there is mutter, because it's not moving and it's not perennial. An irrigation ditch that comes from a river is usur. Why? Because it has all three properties. It's in the ground, it's natural, it's perennial, it has movement. The discussion is what we call charitzim uneitzim. Charitzim uneitzim is a man-made ditch that's fed by rainwater, so that when it rains, the water enters the stream. When there's no rain, there's no water. A canal, a duct, something like that. So the status of charitzim uneitzim is a machlokas in the Gemara. It's a machlokas in the Rishonim between the Rambam and the Rush, and it's a machlokas in the Shulchan Aruch. So the Pri Chadar says you can be lenient, but most poskim follow the Shach, who says that charitzim uneitzim are usur. How do we treat our reservoirs? What's a reservoir? So a reservoir is made by damming up a river that sits between two mountains until a man-made lake is created. Then they build tunnels to bring the water to the different locations. The New York City water comes from the Catskill Mountains, and the water is, in fact, very good quality, and it's very pure. New York City water is some of the best water in the world. And it all collects at a place called the Kensico Dam. Now, the federal government exempted New York City and Westchester from filtering the water they deliver. Why? Because the water is so pure and so clean that comes from the Catskills is so good. The FDA, the federal government, with EPA, whoever's in charge of it, says New York City doesn't have to filter the water. And that's why there are copepods in New York City water, and perhaps Westchester water. Because it doesn't filter it. And the government doesn't make them filter the water. If they did make them filter the water, we wouldn't be having this discussion. Just as a side point, what's with us in Long Island? So Long Island gets its water from two large aquifers of underground water. And because the source of water is underground, the bugs can't live that deep, and therefore the water is fine. I mean, not that it tastes fine, but I'm just saying that the water is not doesn't have an issue with bugs. So how do we view the reservoir in halacha? So there are three approaches. Rabbi Yisrael Reisman and Rabbi Chaim Oberlander in the Or Yisrael, they understand that the water is brought from the reservoirs, which essentially act as giant boros of water, giant kalim. And then the tunnels bring the water to the city, are charitzim uneitzim, which again are subject to this machlokas above, how do we view them? But they wanted to suggest that a lot of the water comes from the rain, and the rainwater kind of overpowers and is mevatel the rest of the water, and therefore it makes it permissible, because it's mostly rainwater. And therefore we should view the water as mutter. Now, Rabbi Shabtai, in his article over here, in the RJJ Journal 49, he says it's very clear that this is incorrect. Only maybe 2% of the water is rainwater in the entire reservoir. It's coming mostly from the rivers that feed it. So therefore, that's hard to understand that opinion. The second opinion is that of Rav David Feinstein. In the Tshuva written for the OU, he cites the above machlokas, that we should be machmer to treat reservoirs as charitzim uneitzim, these naturally flowing rivers, these canals, and be machmer who view that they should be viewed as the sea and the water. And we should not consider the reservoir like a giant kli or bar, because it has inlets and outlets. The water's coming in and out. In addition, you'll tell me that maybe it's simply sitting there and doesn't move. But the reality is we know that it originates from a spring and from giant aqueducts that feed into the Kensico Dam that pull the water from upstate New York. And this makes the water moshchim, flowing water, which is one of the things that make the bugs usher and eventually lead to the pipes underneath out of Kensico Dam. He also understands that moshchim means that the water moves around, not that it flows from place to place. The word yam is also first the Yam HaMelech, right? So you're telling me the Yam HaMelech flows anywhere, the Yam HaMelech doesn't go anywhere. But what does Yam mean? It means that the water, body water is so big that the water moves from one side to the other. So that's how we've used Moshchim. It's not stagnant. That's what it means. The water in the Kensico Dam also moves around, and it's not stagnant. Therefore, the Shratzim inside the dam, says Rav David Feinstein, are Aser. However, the third opinion is brought by the Vayikra Yehoshua in the Darkei Tshuva in Sifkat and Hay here in Pei Dalet, who says that the water that collects in Ma'aros, in a cave, should be viewed as a kli and a bor. And it's no different than water that collects in a cave. The copepods, he says, are the type that are mutter, not usser. And even though the water got there from a natural spring, at this moment, and it's in a collected area, at this moment, it's not flowing. So Rabbi Belsky, in his Shulchan Halevi, in the Kovid Shashuei Oraisa, in the article in Masifta Journal, Rav Belsky felt that the reservoir that feeds New York City is like a giant cistern. Kensico Dam is like a giant cup, a giant bar. And it's not Yom HaMenachem, it's not a naturally flowing river. An important factor is that the reservoir is controlled with man-made gates that monitor the flow of the water from the aqueducts. And the water doesn't necessarily flow freely through it. Meaning, if you go to Kensico Dam, it looks like a giant lake. That's what it looks like. So you'll say it looks like a natural body. But really what it is, it's a giant cup. Now, yes, water comes from the Catskills and leaves towards New York City. But that is monitored by man-made gates that open and close. Now, the truth is, they're open almost all the time. They could close them. But because they have control over it, Rybelsky wants to say that therefore it should be viewed as a giant kli and the bug should be mutter. Who else agrees to this? Rav Yitzchak Reitport, who's a who's a well-known Chabad posek. He has a tshuva for the OU as well. And they argue that the water should be mutter without filtering it. That's point number two. Number three, Piresh Umes. The Gemara in Chulin on Daf Samech Zayin says that if a sheretz grew in a permissible place like a kli, you have a copepod that grew up in a kli, and it leaves and it goes to a place where sheretzim are aser, like the sea, so then that sheretz that was mutter, that bug that was mutter, now becomes aser. It changes status. So the Rama writes in Yeridaya and Pei Dalet that the hetzer of bugs in water is only if you bend down and you drink directly from the bar. You have to put my mouth in the water and drink directly from it. But if you use a cup and you scoop it out, then the bugs will become usser. But in Sif Gimel, the Rama says, you're allowed to pour the entire kli into another new source. So what's the difference? How come scooping out the water with the bug is allowed, but pouring it is usser? So we have a machlokas shach in the Taz. The shach says that the Beis Yosef, who says that it's mutter when the water slash bug goes to the same type of kli. Things are mutter in the place of origin, and they apply to any place where it grows. And when it moves from kli to kli, from cup A to cup B, it's mutter, because it's the makom revisayu. The place of origin hasn't changed. A cup is a cup is a cup, and therefore the bug is going to be good in this cup, the bug is going to be good in that cup. However, it goes into a new type of kli. It goes into a cup, into a bar, into a pit, or goes into a different type of item to hold it, then the water becomes asur. That's what the Shach says. Okay? The Taz says it's mutter when pouring because the bug and the water all transfer together. But when I scoop the bug out of the water with a cup, with the water, maybe in that instance, what's going to happen is that the bug is going to climb out of the kli for a second, go on the outside of the kli and leave the water, and then come back in, right? We said, once it leaves the water and it goes back in, it's going to become usher. And that's why scooping is no good, but pouring is good. So what's the practical difference between the Prima Gadim and the Shach and the Taz? The Prima Gadim says, if I scoop from a kli to a kli, the Shach will say it's mutter, because kli to kli is always allowed. But the Taz will say it's usher, because any act of scooping potentially makes the bug usher. The other difference, says the Prima Gadim, is if I pour from a bar to a kli. So you'll ask me, how do you pour from a pit into a kli? How is that possible to do? How do you pour from a giant pit into a kli? You can't pick up the pit. So hold on one second. According to the Taz, it will be usur, because the act of pouring is usur. But according to the, it will be mutter. It will be mutter, because the act of pouring is allowed. But according to the Shach, it's a different type of vessel, so it should be usur. This is the exact same case as a pipe, because a pipe is an act of pouring. If you view Kensugo Dam as a giant kli, let's argue for a second, Kensugo Dam is a giant cup, right? And then on the bottom of Kensugo Dam is a pipe that leads all the way to New York City. So isn't that not an act of pouring from one place to another place, to a different kli, to another kli, from here all the way to your sink? So according to the Shach, it will be usher to drink the water in New York City. And according to the Taz, it will be mutter. The Aruch HaShulchan brings both the Shach and the Taz. The Bichadosh says that the pipes are a problem, and this is another reason to be machmer for the Kovabaz. But you do have a leniency by drinking out of a water fountain. Because if you drink out of a water fountain, then you're drinking directly from the water source. But we're not talking about that. So that's another reason to be machmer here, because I'm moving the bugs with the water from one kli, and I'm pouring it into another kli, which is your cup in your sink. Now, what is the halacha if the insect dies and then you remove the water? Okay? Let's say I remove a dead insect, which is the case over here. So the Rosh is Mekel, the Rambam is Machmer, the Shulchan Aruch brings both opinions, seemingly as lenient. The Shach says that since the bugs can never be Shores al Ha'aretz, the water is Mutter, because the bug's never going to crawl on its own because it's dead. So this would mean that if the water is Mutter in the source, in the dam, but it's Usser when you remove it, then you can add chlorine, kill the bug, and then remove the water. And perhaps it would not be a problem. But the overwhelming majority of poskim are machmir for the Rambam, the Pritoar, the Prima Gadim, the Aruch HaShulchan. So in the case of the copepods in the water, even if you tell me, like Rabbi Belsky, that the reservoir is a kli, is a giant kli, and the copepods are mutter bugs, once you fill up the cup, it's called Piresh Mace. You are moving it to a new place. And therefore, if one wanted to be lenient, you could follow the rush. However, most poskim are machmer that Piresh Mace, if you move a dead bug from A to B, then it becomes usser in the new place. That's number three. Let's discuss the last two. Let's discuss the percentages and cooking it. Number four. Mir HaMatzi. The Maharam Shik discusses filtering water with bugs on Shabbos. And he says that if bugs are a Mir HaMatzi, there is a significant minority. There's enough there to be concerned about, then you have to filter the water. If the bugs are not a Mir HaMatzi, if they're very rare to find bugs in the water, then you don't need a filter. What are we talking about? So the Ramban in the beginning of Chulin develops the idea of a Mir HaMatzi, that there's a significant minority in halacha you must be concerned about. He says, according to the Torah, we can follow the rov, the majority, right? The Torah says you have to follow the majority. If 51% of the time something is there, I have to be concerned. If 49% of the time it's not there, I don't have to be concerned. So, if I know that the majority of cups of water that you drink don't have bugs, it should be mutter. Meaning, if I fill up, if I take 100 cups of water and I fill up the faucet 100 times, 100 cups of water, and I measure all those cups and I see that in 51 cups there are no bugs and in 49 cups there are bugs, I can assume going forward that every single cup I fill up will not have a bug. I can assume that percentage-wise, my cup will not have a bug. That is according to the Torah. However, midirabanan, according to Chazal, if there's a significant minority, you must check for the Isser that's there. The Ramban supports this with a Medrash, which says that the Jewish people have patience because they check to see if there are sirchos, if there are lesions on the lungs. So the Ramban says, there are 70 different types of problems that could come up with an animal when you shecht it. Why are we only talking about the lungs, says the Ramban? Why are we only looking at the lungs when it comes to a shechted animal? How come I'm not checking the pancreas, and how come I'm not checking the stomach, and I'm not checking the windpipe? How come I'm not checking those other places? Why am I only checking the lungs? Because the Ramban says, sirchos and the lungs are amir hamatzoi. The 69 other types of problems that can occur on a cow are very rare and they almost never happen. But problem on the lungs is a mir hamatzi, a significant minority. Now, what is that percentage that I have to be concerned about? The minhag is to follow the Mishkanes Yaakov, who says that it's 10%. Okay? The Darkei Tshuva says this is the halacha, and you must always check in Isser, if something is Usser, if it occurs more than 10% of the time. So that means when we tell you to check the lettuce, when we tell you to check the spinach, whatever it may be, what we're telling you is that 10% of the time, when you check these items, you're going to find a bug there. 10% or more. Okay? Rav Yashiv felt that maybe it's 7%, but then again, in America, we generally follow 10%. So Rav Schechter says, you look at the servings. Therefore, you look at the number of cups that will get a bug in it. And the tests have shown again and again and again. If you fill up 100 cups of water, more than 10 will have copepods in it, every single time. If you fill up 100 cups of water, 10%, 10 cups are going to have copepods. And therefore, it's a mira matzoi. It's something that we need to be concerned about, and we cannot assume that your cup of water does not have a copepod. That is point number 4. Let's turn now to the last point. And that is, well, maybe I can say they're batal. Maybe they're batal barov, they're considered insignificant to all the water in Kensico Dam. Now, the bugs, as we said before, will be called a birya. What does a birya mean? A birya means a complete entity. A grape is a birya. An ant is a birya. The halacha is that a birya, a complete entity, is not batal. And this is what's cited in the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf in Yeridaya. Why is a birya not batal? Because bittel, nullification, is based on the rationale the item is insignificant. But something that's a birya, something that is a unit on its own, is always significant. And the rationale will never allow it to be batal. What makes something a birya? It has to be an animate object, and therefore that excludes foods, but it includes animals and bugs. It needs to have something that was usser from the time it came to this world, and certainly copepods are usser from the time it came into this world. Now, perhaps you'll tell me, if I cook the bugs in water, they'll disintegrate. They'll turn into bug little pieces, and they won't be a birya anymore, and it'll be batal barov. So this is not a violation of bittel isra l'chadchila, of knowingly nullifying something, because you don't want the bug there. I want it to disappear. However, the tests show, do you know how long it takes for a copepod bug to fall apart? It takes 30 minutes of cooking the water, 30 minutes of boiling water. Oh, you can have that cup of tea with your copepods in it, but it's going to be a long, long cup of tea. It's going to take a long time for it to get ready. And therefore, you could allow it. Rav Asher Weiss writes in the Minchas Asher in this week's Parsha, you could boil it, but it's terribly inconvenient. So it's not a practical thing to boil the water. Rav Asher Weiss then wants to argue that these copepods don't have the status of a birya. An ant, he says, is easily visible. But these copepods are not easily visible. You can see them, but they're not easily visible, and they shouldn't be considered a davar chashuv, something that's significant. He supports this with the comments of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish writes, "Ve'efshar d'chol she'ein ha'ayin sholeh bo lav birya." If the eye can't see it clearly, then it's not a birya. Nevertheless, he says he doesn't want to rely on this halacha l'maisa. Then Rav Asher Weiss brings the Shivas Tzion. who says that it should never be usher to eat something that has a bug hidden inside of it, because it should be misasik. Misasik means it's not my intention when I do it, right? When you have a salad with of lettuce, and there might be a bug in it, is your intention to eat the bug? Of course not. Therefore, the act of eating the bug is called misasik, an unintentional act in halacha. Now, this assumes that bugs are nosin tam lefkam, that they don't have a good taste. But this approach of the Shiva Sion is questionable, because how can I say that it's not my intention to eat the bug when I know the bug is there? Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes in the Mincha Shlomo that the Shiva Sion is problematic, because you know your vegetables come with bugs, and therefore you cannot consider that not knowing what you're doing. And in the end, the Mincha Sasher doesn't want to be matcha the water with copepods because of this issue as well. Rav Schechter says there is a Sveik Sveika. This is important. If you're eating in somebody's house or apartment in New York City, and you know they don't have a filter on the water, but you know they cook the water, it was used for making the soup, something like that. So Schechter says we have a Sveik Sveika in the Rashba, that maybe there was no bug in the soup, and even if there was a bug, perhaps it was dissolved in the cooking. And even though we have a rule that a birya, an entity, is not batal, we only say this regarding a complete birya, but once it dissolves, it's batal. So based on this, if a person made a soup with unfiltered water, you can drink it bidiyaved. You can't do it l'chachila, but bidiyaved, you could rely on it as well. So let's summarize everything together and see how we come at halacha l'maisa. Okay? So it goes as follows. Among those who are lenient about copepods in New York City water is Rabbi Yisrael Belsky, in multiple places where he prints his shuvos, the Kovetz Mesorah, the You Guide to Bug Checking, different places as well, and Rabbi Yitzhak Reitpart in his shuvos for the OU. And they had three reasons why we should be lenient about the copepods. The reservoir is considered a giant kli, and it's mutter in that kli, if it grows in the kli, and like the Taz, that it's mutter to go from one kli to the next. Number two, if the tesheretz is dead, you can be lenient like the shach and the rush as it moves after it's dead. And three, the copepods are not nicker. They're not necessarily identifiable easily after they're dead. However, amongst the machmirim was Rav Yashiv in a tshuva he wrote for the OU, Rav David Feinstein in a tshuva he wrote for the OU and the Kovetz Beis Hillel, Rav Moshe Sternbach in the Kovetz Shashuei Araisa, Rav Schechter in the tshuvas for the OU, Rav Chaim Oberlander in the Or Yisrael, volume 36, Rav Shammai Gross in Or Yisrael, Rav Yitzhak Bistritsky, the Dying for Satmar in the Or Yisrael, Rav Moshe Vey in Bedikas HaMazon Kahalacha, and Rav Asher Weiss, as we saw before. And this is the practice of the major kashrus organizations. All of the kashrus organizations assume there are copepods that are problematic and will filter as necessary when they see fit. So again, the English, a lot of this is written up in the RGGA journal. Rabbi Bleich has a piece in Contemporary Halachic Problems, I think volume 6. What are the reasons to be machmer? So again, the water in the reservoir is viewed as yam munachlim, as natural body of water that moves. The copepods are shrutzim that are aser. Number two, the Rambam and most poskim are machmer, that if it moves locations while dead, it's aser. Number three, you can see them certainly when they're alive, and certainly a little bit after they're dead. And finally, it's not batal, it is a birya, and it can easily be filtered as well. It's not a big tircha. Sometimes in halacha, we don't make you put in a big tircha, but this is a big tircha. It's not a big tircha, put a filter on the faucet and take care of these things as well. There's a whole discussion about filters. Again, I would recommend to go and look at Rav Yaakov Lach's work on this. If you have Rabbi Blumenkrantz's Pesach Digest, he publishes all his information there as well, I think every year. I haven't bought the Pesach Digest a number of years, but I think it's there as well. He publishes his information about filters, what are good filters, what are not good filters. Some points from what he says. He says that, hospitals, the water is always good. Hospitals have excellent filters on them. You don't have to worry about hospitals in New York City. All bottled water and seltzer and sodas are good. Soda fountains are not always reliable. It depends on the restaurant, how good of a filter they want to put in. Refrigerators with water machines are good, because there's very little pressure to move the bug into the cup. So if you have a water machine, that's a good thing to use as well. When you're traveling in a place where there are copepods, you can use coffee filters. Coffee filters, multiple coffee filters to drip the water through is a good way to get filter the bugs out. And Brita pitchers, that are designed for chlorine are not reliable. Brita pitcher is not reliable for these types of things. So that is the summary of this interesting halachic issue from 2004 that remains, you know, relevant 17 years later in 2021 to understand the sugya in this week's parsha of Shratzim, and we should all be zocha to have kosher and delicious water. Okay.